meditation for this evening is final Lenten service. It's from Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our speaker today is one of those nameless people, souls of history, the human race. His name is known to us only by tradition. And as he speaks to us, we hear the voices of those nameless people, millions, billions of people. Now, there were the Washingtons and the Edisons and the Gates, of course, but the real voices that matter here are the voices of people like us, our voice, that will be speaking to us tonight. Our speaker is known in the history of the gospel as the good thief, or if you're old enough to remember the other way of saying it, the penitent malefactor, which meant the repentant thief malefactor. Church calendars have set aside the day of his death as March 25th, and his name by tradition is Dismas. Now, Dismas means sundown, sunset, as in the sense of death. So if we get the opportunity to listen to him, he might say something like this. "I do not imagine that you of the 21st century really care much about who I was or what I did. You know me as a man dying on the cross. In reality, I'm just another of the many people that lived for a while here on earth and then were gone. As you remember the death of Jesus and remember this time when I spoke just three words to him, a few words, I should say, especially, Lord, remember me, I'm hoping that I'm going to be able this evening to share what we have in common. Not only in common with our humanity, but also in common with the man, the Son of God, named Jesus. And all of you, I'm sure, will be able to relate to that experience. My life, well, it was about mistakes. It started long before I ever met Jesus, and I learned this truth, that it's very, very easy to go wrong. My first crime really was nothing major, kind of minor in terms of crimes, things that I did wrong. But I was so frightened because I thought I would get caught. But then when I didn't get caught, I only became bolder and bolder, and even more so in the crimes that I would do. Eventually, I got to the point where I thought I would never get caught, and that was my first mistake. My second mistake is what you call today stinking thinking. You've heard that? Stinking thinking. In other words, my brain, my head, my mind was so about myself and about my pride and that I couldn't think straight at all. Eventually, I believed, because I would not get caught, didn't get caught, I believed that no law applied to me. So that no parent, no government, not even any God could tell me what to do. My third mistake is that I believed that I would never be punished for my crime. There would always be a way out. Now, I thought that was true during my trial, even when he said guilty, the judge said that, and they dragged me out to the hill beyond the gates. I was still thinking, ain't gonna happen. Well, guess what? Something did happen, but not what I expected. See, they laid me down on my cross, and they took my hand, and through it they drove a spike. And I knew with that first gush of blood and that searing pain that it was over. The blood from my hands and my feet, the feverish agony of creeping death, were the final results of my wicked, evil, shameful, failed life. And my death was all I had to show for my life. It's really what I deserve. Now, I understand that your pastors of your time are taught to preach in a kind of a balance of things, the balance being law and gospel. Well, me, nailed to that cross, that preached a great sermon, and the sermon was about the law. You see, no sin escapes God's notice, whether big or small. And he says it very clearly in the scripture, the soul that sins, it shall die. So three of us hanging, kind of etched against this blue sky of an April morning, just waiting for death. After that first stabbing pain of the nails driven into my hands, into my feet, and then before the last fever began, I began to look around. And as I looked around, I noticed this was not your usual crucifixion crowd. I mean, there were the hangers-on, obviously, and there were the ones that were just wanted to see another spectacle of gruesome death, but then there are those people there, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the high priests and people like that that should never be there. But there they were, cursing and mocking and spitting at him. So I struggled with all my might to turn my head and to kind of look over at that person in the center. And as I looked there, I looked and saw the little sign that was up on top, and I could read the Latin part of it, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. King. Yeah, he was a king in exile, going home, and a king whose kingdom I would certainly have liked to have been a part of, because I think it would have been a place to live in a land of peace and glory and also joy. I thought for a moment of asking him to take me along with him, but I thought better. There's no chance of that. Not me. Dismiss after a life like mine. Heaven for me? No way. Between the angels and the archangels? That's not happening. Too much to ask for. I was getting what was to come to me, and I decided that I was going to die as much of a man as I could, suffering through all of that pain. And yet, I wanted to let him know that I believed in him. So again, I turned to him and I whispered, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's the old human cry. And the old human cry simply is, please don't forget me. And I think you still want that for your world. And I know that you want that for yourselves. It's funny what you do nowadays in your 21st century. You know, this face thing that you do. Yeah. And this Twitter thing that you do, or tweet. What do you call that? I know it's on the net. They call it internet. I don't know what that is. It's about billions and billions of people every day saying, remember me. I'm a person. I'm important. I don't want to be forgotten. Well, what I learned that day was that Jesus didn't forget about me, and he had always known me, and he never ever forgot my name, much like the world has. What happened to me next is indelibly imprinted on my memory and also in my heart. He turned to me and he looked at me and he said to me, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." He gave me infinitely more than I could have ever asked. That afternoon, he led me to his home, to the gates of paradise, king and thief, judge and sinner, God with his man, man with his God. From the crossroads of sorrow, we went into the sunset of death only to arrive in the eternal morning. He remembered me. Many people have been fascinated by my story. It's kind of amazing to me. I only spent a few hours next to my Savior, and they're fascinated in my conversion. In fact, there are actually groups of people that name themselves after me. In Escondido, California, near San Diego, there's what they call the St. Dismas Guild. And they go out taking Bibles to the sick, to the addicted, to the imprisoned. There is Dismas Ministry, and they go into the prisons to bring the gospel. And then there are also within the prisons groups of people that call themselves Dismas, whether men or women, gathered around the scripture, studying it, seeking release from their imprisonment with the freedom that comes from Jesus. I guess it shouldn't be so surprising to me, because at Calvary, our Lord came into the crossroads of the world, into the meeting places of the ages, and he was concerned with all the sins of all people of all time, and he was suffering for the first sin, and he was suffering for the last sin, and nowhere is there a better testimony in the scriptures than of the love of God than when the Son of God took the time to turn to a poor, dying thief. And this is the ultimate greatness of the Christian religion. Through Jesus, you are forgiven. Through Jesus, you are reconciled with God. All who believed in the past are with me today in paradise. And one day he will come to you and he will say to you, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." I learned that 3 o'clock one Friday afternoon. Still a wonderful thing to know. And until the day that he calls you to be with me where I am in paradise, I bid you farewell.